Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Daily Vikings Entertainment. We just want the Vikings to win a Super Bowl before we die.
I will ride with this group.
Seriously, man. Please.
And away we go.
Welcome in for the third straight day, I believe, maybe fourth straight, to the ninth biggest football podcast in all of the United States, according to Apple, Purple Daily.
Hold on a second.
Get the flag.
Let's do it. Let's get the flag out for this. There it is, boys. Thank you.
I see, in fairness, I have seen some people be like, oh, wait, you're celebrating being the ninth best thing after crapping on Kirk Cousins for being the ninth best quarterback for the last 5 years?
It's pretty good, though.
There's only 32 starting quarterbacks in the league.
We just accurately ranked him, and right now our podcast is accurately ranked.
That's right. Nowhere near number one, but kind of.
It's close enough.
Kind of. You may have noticed the YouTube audience say, wait, it's not Thor's Day today. It is, though. It's Thor's Day on a Monday. We're bringing in Thor twice this week. Thor Nystrom from Fantasy Pros and Betting Pros. I saw you tweeting last night. Do you have a 2.0 mock on fantasypros.com right now?
I do. We just put it out. Last week, so we did it a week ago. That was pre-free agency, pre-Vikings trade. It was only 7 days ago, but it seems like 7 years ago.
Should we start with that, boys?
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Okay. Let's go through the Thor 2.0 here.
I want a mock!
From fantasypros.com. Vikings, since the last time, and I wasn't even on with you last Thursday, but since you were on here, the Vikings make the trade for another first-round pick. So they have the 11, they have the 23. Take us through your mock here, Thor.
And Thor, you had in your first mock, you had the Vikings trading up to the Chargers pick at 5 and taking J.J. McCarthy, correct?
I did, yeah. Okay. This one, we have the Vikings getting up to 4 and using the two first-round picks. That Kwesi obviously traded for the one with Houston to get the second one in order to facilitate this trade up the board. You know that they're going to start with Washington. We're going to see if we can get to 2. Then they're going to go to 3. They're going to engage New England. Can we get to 3? Then Arizona's next on the stop, whatever. Can they get 4? If they can't get 4, that's when it becomes L.A., when L.A. is on the clock. But the issue with trading for that in advance, of course, as we talked about before, is if you get up to 5, there's no guarantee that someone is not going to hop you after the fact into 4 and take the QB4 right from you. So that's why, you know, would Arizona trade out? We'll have to see. But if they won't, then you know they're going to take the receiver. That's why they're not. That's, of course, when you can start engaging the Chargers, make that trade.
So real quick, but before we get into the mock, like you're saying strategically, they might, at any, whether it's today or in a month from now, the Vikings are going to try and get into the top three before the draft. But if they can't, it doesn't make sense to facilitate a trade for like five until the Chargers are on the clock. Otherwise, let's say you go to five next week. Well, then the Broncos, probably not the Broncos, they don't have the capital. Like the Giants could say, oh, cool, we'll just move up to four and grab J.J. McCarthy, and now you're screwed, right?
Correct. Yeah, you have locked yourself into a slot that does not guarantee one of the top four quarterbacks. So that would present a potential nightmare scenario after the fact, which is why I don't think we're going to get that until they be on the clock. If it's going to be in advance of the draft, it's got to be for a top four pick.
Okay. So what do you have now? What do you have the Vikings doing in your 2.0?
So I have quarterbacks going 1, 2, 3, 4, which I think is a very plausible scenario. And if it's not that, I think we get four in the top five. Daniel Jeremiah reported four in the top six seems to be the floor, right? Like the Giants pick is where the train ends on that. That's why the Vikings have to get up above the sixth pick. So I have the Vikings trading with Arizona. I have Caleb Williams, of course, at the free spot on the board at one. I have Washington taking Jaden Daniels. That's been my supposition all along. I do have New England taking Drake May. That is the pick that I'm least confident in. We've talked before. It is hard to get a read exactly on what New England is seeing and what their intentions are. But I just gave it Drake May to them. And then the Vikings at four, trading up with Arizona, giving both the first-round picks, and then taking J.J. McCarthy at four.
Wow.
So it's not a problem. It's the issue. Because the Vikings are still not dealing now from a position of strength in the negotiations, because there's going to be – the Giants are, I think there's no question now, a credible threat. And the Giants are at six. Vikings are at 11. So 11-23, and we actually discussed this when the Patriots trade went down, or I'm sorry, when the 23rd pick was acquired from Houston by the Vikings last week. This is where I think you might end up having to trade your 2025 first as well to get there. Because if you're the Cardinals, all of these charts and all of these, you know, the Rich Hill or whatever metric.
Hey, guys, the Rich Hill chart says we can just float you the third round pick.
And Barnwell, so Bill Barnwell wrote a piece, I think it was on Friday or Saturday, that actually said, according to his charts and metrics, Houston won that trade, the Vikings didn't, which the Rich Hill trade said that the Vikings won. But my point is, I think if you want to get to three or four, I think you have to be prepared to part Thor with that first round 25 pick, because they're going to take all of what you say about the value, blah, 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 and say, yeah, but we got the Giants online too. Do you want to do business? I think that becomes a sticking point.
Yeah, and that's a delicate dance that we're in. Yeah, Kwesi has to read the rest of the room correctly, right? It's not just get your evaluation correctly, it's read the other 31 players at the poker table correctly in these negotiations. The Vikings hold control over this draft, unlike most teams. You put them right up there at the top. Kwesi is holding a lot of cards here. The draft goes through him. That the next move coming, trading the multiple first-round picks up, obviously is going to inform a lot of the things that happen after that and what team did they get up with. But yeah, Judd, I think getting into the top three, I would agree with that. I don't know that I see a scenario. For instance, New England, are you going to trade out of there and then get the 11-23? You're going to give up your quarterback of the future, but you're not going to get the future first. I think they would bristle at that. I think that they would require that happens. The fourth or the fifth pick is where I think that gets a bit more nebulous, because you're starting to skew the points or the value on any chart more towards the other team the Vikings would be trading with. But yeah, of course, if the team that you're negotiating with has the leverage of, no, we have multiple other teams on the line, we'll make a trade with them, you sort of don't have a choice at that point.
Hey, I have kind of a two-part question. Part one is, you have in your latest mock, you have Jaden Daniels going to the Commanders. Is that pretty universally accepted right now? Does it feel like, and things can change, but does it feel like Jaden Daniels is the preferred choice of the Commanders if they stay and pick at two?
That's become the betting favorite, yeah.
Okay.
3 weeks ago or so, Drake May was minus 150 on the betting boards to go second overall. Today, it's like Jaden Daniels is like minus 175. So the tide has turned in terms of that.
So let's say Caleb Williams is locked in at one. Jaden Daniels, let's lock him in at two right now. Comparing, we've talked a lot about J.J. McCarthy on this show, and you started this whole renaissance like a month ago on Purple Daily with your J.J. McCarthy rant. If the Vikings are sitting there and they could get either J.J. McCarthy or Drake May, depending on how their trade conversations go, how the board falls, compare and contrast those quarterbacks and how they would fit with what Kevin O'Connell is trying to do here and these weapons in this offense.
Phil, do you mean May against McCarthy?
Like who would you rather have? Who's a better fit? Who's more NFL ready? Who has the highest ceiling? Who has the highest floor? Just compare those two guys as prospects for us.
Yeah, well, the great fit about both May and McCarthy for KOC's offense is they're two of the, in fact, that they are the two best in this class at throwing over the middle, right? In Minnesota's offense the past couple of years and KOC's philosophy, they pepper the middle of the field there because it creates spacing. If the defense knows we will complete those passes in the intermediate range over the middle, you have to account for that, and that creates spacing to do your other different stuff. So that, you know, that's sort of the passing philosophy of it. Drake May and J.J. McCarthy right there at the top of the class in terms of that. May, you would put up there as far as the top guy. If I need to get a 15-yard pass down the field into the smallest window possible at the highest possible velocity, that's Drake May. That's the dude that you want for that. But McCarthy's really good at that as well. I slightly prefer McCarthy because better athlete, way better throwing on the run. That's the special sauce with McCarthy, with 71% in change completions last year while scrambling, which is unheard of. He only lost one percentage point off his overall accuracy while he was on the move. You have different stuff like that. And then also, J.J. McCarthy's better under pressure than Drake May. That's my concern about Drake May's evaluation. I don't want to say concern. But it's just something where it ticks me, ticks Drake May down a little bit for me. The under pressure stuff with Drake May, and then he's not great outside of the pocket. And I don't think his rushing utility is going to translate to the NFL level as some have forwarded. I think he's more or less going to be a pocket passing guy. You know, think of like Carson Wentz coming out when people were like, you know, trying to say like, oh, he's athletic and you're going to get rushing utility out of Carson Wentz. I think it's sort of the same kind of a thing with Drake May. Like I said, mostly confined to the pocket. But May has the bigger arm. McCarthy is the guy you want when everything is devolving. He will find the answer to the tough questions in that moment.
You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
Interesting. If you were picking at three, then let's say you swing a trade, the Patriots are open for business. It's the 11, it's the 23, maybe it's even a future first round pick in 2025. And the first two picks are Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels. And Vikings general manager Thor Nystrom is sitting in that war room, and you can pick either Drake May or J.J. McCarthy at three. Who are
JJ.
You picking?
J.J., that card's going in with J.J.'s name on it. Of course, I don't have to put up with McCown in the room saying, oh, that, you know, Drake May's a great kid, and I've known him since
high school. I coached him in high school. Shut up, Josh.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you're going to coach who we want you to coach. And again, like, I think it's close. Like, I know I'm the J.J. McCarthy guy, but, like, McCarthy against May is very close. And they both translate, I think, pretty well to KOC's offense in terms of the way that he sees the spacing of the field and he wants the passing offense to go. It's just with McCarthy, you can do all the concepts where you're moving the pocket as well, the bootleg stuff, and then he's going to deal with the pressure better because he has the athleticism to get out of it. And we know that his accuracy works on the move to all three sectors of the field.
Not that this is a hugely important thing, but which one do you think is prepared to play the quickest?
That's a tough one. because both those guys, similar experience.
Good question, you think?
Similar age. Yeah, I think it's a good question.
Good question, thank you.
Exactly, great question. But both coming out after 3 years in college, both were starters for 2 years in college. This might be an unpopular opinion. I think J.J. McCarthy is slightly closer to playing. He came out of an NFL-style, pro-style offense at Michigan, just won the national title, and last year was great. Down the stretch, he was licking all these good defenses, Ohio State, Iowa, Alabama in succession, just to get to the national championship game. So I think he would be slightly more. J.J. McCarthy also faced, we've talked about this before, by far the hardest strength of schedule of these different guys, in that pro-style system, in getting to the national championship, whatever. Drake May, he's been in two different systems the last couple of years. He's going to have to learn a new one coming here. Both those guys, I think you would keep them, if you had your druthers about you in September, they're probably learning maybe the early part of October. Then they're going to be on the field, both of them.
I have to throw this out since we're talking about sort of the top five picks and how they may play out and the fifth pick being a pivot point here, right? There's a lot of steam. I think it's mostly just like reckless speculation, but Jim Harbaugh loves J.J. McCarthy. And the Chargers, they're clearing out these old weapons, Keenan Allen to the Bears. Is there any chance? And then obviously like the dead cap ramifications make this really hard. Is there any chance the Chargers get squirrely here and put Justin Herbert on the trade block? And now all of a sudden the mystery team has been unveiled. Oh, actually it's the Chargers that are going to snipe J.J.
Scooby-Doo,
McCarthy.
You take off the mask.
Yeah.
Who is this mask team?
It's the Chargers.
That's Jim Harbaugh's music.
I think Harbaugh might love to do that. He's not going to be able to, unfortunately, though, because of the $90 million dead cap hit that they would incur if they traded Justin Herbert. So it just makes it non-viable by the numbers, even though we know that Harbaugh loves McCarthy more than anybody. And it's fascinating and ironic that Harbaugh may be holding the key as to where J.J. McCarthy spends the next decade of his life. It very well may come down to that fifth pick and then who they decide to trade with that. But yeah, Harbaugh might be holding the cards for where McCarthy goes.
So Thor, let's talk about the third and fourth picks in terms of trade probability too. Okay. Mm-hmm. So the Patriots roster is just a disaster right now. I mean, it's finally depleted as hell. Yes. Passing up a franchise QB might seem crazy, but at the same time, if you take that guy, the infrastructure immediately is going to be absolutely awful. If you get the 11th pick, if you get the 23rd pick, perhaps you get a next year's first pick. Now you're building a team back, which you don't have. The Cardinals are in a situation where you can make a very good case that they want to stand relatively pat, right? Because Kyler needs a receiver. The top end, those guys are potential Pro Bowl players. So I guess my thought process here is it seems almost more realistic to make a pitch to the Patriots, because if I'm the Cardinals and I have my druthers, I think I might actually bite on a swap with the Giants. Because if I swap with the Giants, I'm still assured of a top end receiver, no question. And I know the receiver class is deep, but the more I go through this, if I'm the Cardinals and I take 11 and 23, I'm still going back quite a bit. So my probability of getting a receiver that I've identified goes down a bit. Doesn't it make more sense that the Patriots are a better trade partner given their circumstances than the Cardinals right now?
Yes and no. We do. I mean, in terms of the yes, the Patriots we know will listen to calls. And I agree with your interpretation of their roster at this point. You could question whether if the Patriots take a quarterback right now and you drop them into that situation with the new staff, are you just setting them up to fail? Are you just setting this thing back a couple of years? Then you're going to have to do this again, whatever. My only thing with that, though, is the Patriots desperately need that franchise quarterback. This quarterback class is better than the next one that's coming, and you're in the position to take them now. Whereas the Cardinals, there's a bunch of situational things that you could point to that would suggest that they would listen and do this. First of all, last year, Monty Austin-Ford, his first draft there, he did trade down. He traded down with the Texans. Then they moved back up to get Paris Johnson. So Monty Austin-Ford is showing not only will I trade down out of the very top of the draft, but that he has the creativity and the gumption to go back up. So he's sort of thinking about the board, three-dimensional chess a little bit. To your point, Judd, about the way the Cardinals see the receivers, yes, their receiving core right now, it's awful. That needs to improve. Certainly they're going to use the draft to do it. But you can think about this in a couple of different ways. Yes, they could stick and pick at number four and take Marvin Harrison Jr., who is a fabulous receiving prospect. Or you could trade down. You can get two first-round picks from the Vikings, probably something extra on top of that. Then at you have 11-23, they have the other first-round pick that they have as well. You could either do exactly what they did last year, which is we're already engaging teams above the Bears, the Titans, the Falcons, whatever. Try to hop them so that we can get the wide receiver three, you know, between, you know, Neighbors and Adunze being the two other ones. Because we think that all three of those guys are wide receiver ones in any class. We're going to try to do that. Or the other way of looking at it is, as we've talked about before, this receiving class is not only awesome at the top, it's awesome all the way through. It's also deep. So you can make the argument, and I think that this is going to be something that pushes some of those, the other first-round receivers outside of those top three, pushes them down the first-round board just a little bit relative to where they may have gone in regular years. Just because in the second round, third round, fourth round, fifth round, teams looking at the overall board, you can identify in advance, we're going to get a really good value on the board in round two. Guys that in a normal class maybe would have been late first round picks. And the same thing going down, the Cardinals, you know, with your last first round pick, there are the three. Let's say they make that trade. The last one, now you can pick a guy like Xavier Worthy, who would be a one-for-one replacement for Hollywood Brown, who just left. Adonai Mitchell is there, Keon Coleman, a bunch of different guys like that. Or you could keep trading back. You could try to accumulate a bunch of early second-round picks. That's sort of the sweet spot. Arizona probably needs to take two receivers, not just one. Or, like I said, you have the alternate path of you make the trade, and then now we have a bunch of equity. Now we're going to try to trade to seven or eight and get above Chicago and try to take the receiver from them.
Yeah. Oh, my God. This is just
it's in the weeds.
Inject this right into our veins. We'll get into a couple other things, including a mock draft simulation with our friend Thorne Eistrom, Fantasy Pros and Betting Pros. But let's shout out our friends, Judd, at Quick Trip, the official convenience store and gas station of Purple Daily.
Yep, that's exactly right. And guess what? There is no question about your first round pick when it comes to convenience stores, because that first round pick is Quick Trip with the quality gas guarantee. And look at there. If you are watching the show right now on YouTube, you're seeing a delicious array of foods. There are the pizzas, but I want to talk about the chicken, the fried chicken, the chicken tenders, the roasted whole chicken. You know what? You can put Quick Trip mano a mano with any of the competition, and their chicken choice is outstanding. That includes the 3 or 8-piece hand-breaded chicken tenders, the boneless wings, fried chicken bone-in, 2 or 8-piece. Again, your first-round pick, it's Quick Trip, so you can pick up your dinner for a Monday night. Guess what? Easy as can be at Quick Trip.
Also, a shout out to the exclusive personal injury law firm of Purple Daily. That'd be our friends at Nicolet Law, which they are local, by the way. They're not flying in from different parts of the country here. They are just normal, everyday Minnesota folks. The ones you see at the gas station, the ones you see walking the dog, maybe grabbing a beverage at the local watering hole. They know how life is like in the Midwest. They can identify with all of us. And they've seen every play the insurance companies have to offer. They'll go the whole nine yards to make sure that you get the compensation you deserve after an accident. So if you've been injured, get Minnesota's local award-winning injury lawyers, Nicolet. That's 1-855-NICOLET or NicoletLaw.com. They've also presented the 2024 Bracket Challenge here at Score North. If you want to beat the crap out of us picking brackets, you can go to scorenorth.com/bracket. And prizes will be awarded for the first, second, and third place finishers among the Purple Daily and Score North listener crowd. The winner will be crowned for their one shining moment on Minnesota Sports with Mackie and Judd. We'll bring you on the show. We will bow down to you. And the winner will also receive 2 VIP tickets to the sold out Purple Daily draft party on April 25th at the Fillmore. So this is a chance. And we will have an announcement sometime here soon of a few more VIP ticket availabilities. But this is a chance. You can win this bracket and get 2 VIP tickets to the Purple Daily Draft Party. ScoreNorth.com/bracket, gentlemen. So Judd and I owe Declan an apology because he was right at the end of last week when he said, hey, the things I've been seeing OverTheCap.com lays out the formula. The Vikings are going to net, especially now with the KJ Osborne signing in New England yesterday, the Vikings are going to net 2 third-round comp picks, it sounds like, in the 2025 draft. Declan, I apologize for being wrong on Friday.
That's okay.
Judd, I don't know if you'd like
to. Me too.
Insincere Judd. I'll take that actually as the I'll take that as a Judd apology most times. So yes, that's fine.
No, I'm sorry. I feel terrible.
So terrible.
I feel awful. It ruined my weekend.
I don't know how Don does it, but yeah, yeah.
It ruined my weekend. Oh, she doesn't. She just tells me to shut up.
So Thor, how does if they wind up with 2 comp picks in the 3rd round for essentially for losing Danielle Hunter and Kirk Cousins? And everything else that kind of came and went, including Jonathan Grenard, by the way, is below the level of losing Kirk Cousins and Danielle Hunter. That would give them still for next year their 1st-round pick in 2025 and currently 3 3rd-round picks in 2025. So how does that impact what they may do here in the weeks leading up to the draft?
God, I love that we've become the organization that's playing the comp pick game. Like how for so long we were just wandering in the desert. Now we're starting to do smart analytical things.
And you can trade them now too, Thorsky.
Yes, you can. So, I mean, you have all kinds of flexibility there as far as that goes. And, of course, that softens the blow a little bit of the 2nd-round pick that you traded out, you know, with Houston to get back into the 1st-round, the 2025 one. Did you guys see the conspiracy theory on Twitter last night? Regarding the KJ Osborne signing, that New England signed him for a little bit more so that he would get into the comp formula in order to give the Vikings that 2nd, 3rd-round comp pick next year, in order so that the Vikings could trade their 3rd-round pick, include that in a hypothetical trade with New England. I love the I love the conspiracy theory aspect of it.
It's great. Well, I mean, the Patriots have top 3 cap space. So hey, we'll give them a couple extra $X million if it triggers the comp pick formula. Yeah. And we wind up getting an extra draft pick out of it.
You scratch our back, we'll scratch yours. You're taking care of our boy KJ as well. Like, who loses there? Yeah.
And you could then you could maybe then give your 1st-round pick next year. So it'd be your 11, 23, and a 1st-round pick, and you'd still have 3 top 100 draft picks. All of them would be obviously 3rd-round, but you would at least be able to draft good players on day 2 next year.
For sure. Yeah. The one thing that I'm hoping out of this, and this might be, you know, too optimistic, I'll say in advance, is that the Vikings can swing this thing without giving up next year's first. Wow. If Kwesi can figure out a way to do that, Kwesi that will be the genius move, right? Like if you only had to surrender the 2nd, you knew that you were getting the 2 3rd, I'm talking 2025, you had to surrender the 2nd, but you knew you were getting the 2 3rd-round comps coming back and you're able to protect that 1st-round pick. Because the Vikings, where they get scary if they hit on this quarterback, it's in 2025, right? Yes. Next year is going to be you're resetting things. You're resetting the whole roster. You have to have all this dead cap there, so you can't go out and improve the roster maybe as much as you'd like. You're going to be playing Darnold early. You're going to be playing a rookie quarterback late. That's the reset year. So the 1st-round pick in 2024 of the Vikings, I think, is extremely valuable. And by the way, when it gets discussed, I don't think it gets discussed as such. Like, if a team wants that pick, if I'm Kwesi, I am valuing that very high, and I'm letting them know that as well. And if you get, by the way, going back to the idea with New England, if people bandy about, like, remember the Trey Lance trade? The 49ers had to go up. They had to give 3 first-round picks, and they had to give a day 2 pick as well. That is true in order to get that done. But a couple things. First of all, San Francisco was coming up from 12, and maybe something that people forget about that trade, that was the only pick that they traded that year. So they went from 12 to 3. There was no other pick swapping that year. The rest of that transaction was 49ers next 2 first-round picks and then a 3rd-round pick from the 49ers. Well, you would have projected that the 49ers, that they're going to be picking near the end of the 1st-round, first of all, and then you're not getting any additional draft equity this year. The draft equity this year, it's always worth more than in the future. It's the same thing with inflation. Money today is more valuable than money tomorrow. So the Vikings offering 11-23 and next year's 1st-round pick, you have already trumped the 49ers trade up from 12 that other year in order to do that. So I think that needs to be mentioned as well.
So, but if the Patriots say, we will do the deal, but we have to have your 2025 first, I don't think you can say no. Like if you could get the quarterback that you want. So, like, I get the game. And, yes, if Kwesi can avoid trading that first, I think we all agree that would be fabulous. But the reality, too, is if your guy is there, which at three he would be, I think you have to look long and hard. I don't know that you're in the driver's seat of trying to say no there. So, like, this is where it gets to be intriguing to me, because if you are convinced, if Kevin O'Connell is pounding the table and saying, this is my guy, I can win with this guy, we will be set for 8 to 10 years with this guy, I pull the trigger. I might not like it as much, but that's where I think you're positioned now really, really well. Because I think if you go 11, 23, 25 first, I think you've got the deal.
I mean, if I'm the Patriots, we're already sending that in, right? Like I said, you've already beaten the 49ers offer. You're one slot higher. Then you're giving the first round pick that's this year, and the 49ers, it ended up being two late first rounders in future years. Plus you're giving, the other first round pick for next year, you're going to project that probably to be top 10, top 12, unless KOC really can perform miracles. We'll find out with next year's roster. But yeah, I'm going to do whatever I can to try to save that. And if I'm Kwesi, yeah, this is the time to haggle. You got 6 weeks, and the leverage that Kwesi has is saying, well, fine, we don't care. We like four quarterbacks in this class, and we're fine getting the fourth one. If you guys want to stay at three and take your quarterback, no problem. We're already talking to Arizona. We're already talking to LA. You guys can do what you want. We're going to offer you a fair, the same thing you did with Cousins. We have a price in mind. We're going to offer you the fair one. If you say no, that's fine. We're gonna trade with the two other teams. This will depend, Judd. This goes back to something you were saying. Will KOC, will McCown, will all those guys in the front office, will they be unified behind one guy? Does it become a myopic thing? I don't want to say myopic, but do you love one guy more than the rest? Where between those two guys that could potentially fall there, where it's like, we have to have this guy. That's where you're going to pay the super duper premium to New England if that's the case. But if the Vikings see this more like me, both May and McCarthy are great fits for this offense, KOC's offense. They're both great values in those slots. We don't see a huge tangible difference between them. We'll have to modify the offense one way or the other, but we love the way that the offense will project with either of these guys. So we're fine picking at 4 and 5 and taking the QB4. Whichever of the two drops to us, that's totally fine. And in order to try to save your 2024 or what would be the 2025 first round pick.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Don't shoot the messenger here. I'm just going to ask a question just to cover all bases. It feels like they're putting together something to move up, and everything we've talked about for 30 minutes makes sense. Is there any chance that they don't move up, that they either stand pat at 11 and take something other than a quarterback, and maybe they get into the Michael Penix game later in the first round with their other, is there a case to be made that keeping your picks to draft two good players, one of them maybe is a defensive player, that's the right path, or that there's a chance they could do that instead?
I would be very surprised, but of course there's things that are outside of your control here. I mean, New England, Arizona and LA, they could merely just say, nope, Kwesi, stop calling. We are not trading those picks. Well, then the QB4 is going to get to the Giants. And from everything that the smoke we're starting to hear from the Giants is, if the QB4, if one of those top four guys gets there, they're going to pop them. So, yeah, I mean, some of this stuff is outside of your control, whatever. But I think that, getting that other first round pick, that is additional leverage in these negotiations for Kwesi, because the exact scenario that you just presented is another argument that Kwesi can make when he's on the phone with Elliot Wolf, when he's on the phone with Monty Asenfor, when he's on the phone with Jim Harbaugh, engaging in conversations again with Jim. Hey, Jim, how you doing? Yes. Sorry, it didn't work out a couple of years ago, but let's get down to business. but you know, with those guys, you can say, hey, we have the 23rd pick. We love Michael Penix. So if you guys don't want to do business, that's totally fine. We'll do that. And also we're talking to other teams as well. So we're cool trading up. We have the two first round picks to do it. Who wants to do business with us? We're ready to make a deal right now. But if not, we have that other pick where we're going to take Michael Penix. Whether that's true or not, just in the negotiation, getting that little bit of leverage, works. It's going to play.
Yeah. And I think an important factor here too is this. So it was widely reported that Kwesi a year ago tried to move up, like sort of exact same thing. And
I heard the same.
Richardson
was actively were engaging in calls to try to move up. Yeah.
Tyler did. Like it's out there. And in that case, he clearly didn't have enough. Like they tried and the team said, sorry, you don't have enough to give us. So what transpired on Friday with Houston was, I think, a lesson learned, which is I'm moving up and I've got to have more. Okay. But also, let's imagine a year from now, too. Okay. So if you've drafted a QB, and I know that you might not be flush with draft picks, but a year from now, in March, the new league year hits you guys, and this team is going to be absolutely flush with salary cap space. So, like, you could look at this as a two-prong tier build, which is this year it's the draft, get your quarterback. But, like, when we're – I think our comeback is, okay, but what about defensive tackle, perhaps? Cornerbacks, right?
Next
year. A year from now, you are going into free agency, probably sitting top three in cash, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Thor, to your point about 2025 being the year that you pop as a team, that's made possible because of the fact that now you can fill the remaining positions of need with veteran free agents, preferably guys coming out of their first contract. Like, this is the blueprint, I think, for how you turn this thing around really quickly and become an incredibly viable contender in short form. Call it what you want, competitive rebuild. I don't care. But, like, you could see the blueprint now in the path, and it makes sense. It makes sense if you do this right.
I totally agree. Yeah, I think the draft goes through Kwesi and the Vikings this April, and I think free agency goes through Kwesi and the Vikings when free agency opens up next offseason.
Boys, let's get into the simulation here. This is a lot of good fodder here for us to
I want a mock
bring into an actual mock draft simulation. And you'll also see here, too, based on these banner ads, that before we turned the mics on, we were all talking about doing our taxes. This is not an ad, but you will see on YouTube that the algorithm is creepy. And so now we're getting served HR Block banner ads.
Listens to us.
It's very creepy. So let's go through a mock draft simulation. You know, we're going to put the PFF simulator on timeout and try the Pro Football Network simulator, Thor.
Okay.
PFF's just been kind of, I did one last night where they had like Drake May going number one, which doesn't seem to be a thing in real life right now. So we'll do this mock draft simulation in the last 15 minutes with our guy Thor, presented by our friends at Federated Mutual Insurance Company. Now, as a business owner out there, do you have a game plan in place to stay focused on safety and preventing claims? Let the team at Federated help support your business. Federated Insurance offers a customizable lineup of industry-specific coverages and risk management services to help you continue your winning streak as a business owner. At Federated Mutual Insurance Company, it's our business to protect yours. Find out more at federatedinsurance.com. Okay, here we go. Now, this is a different flow here, so bear with me, but we'll do a 5-round mock. We'll select the Vikings. We will enter the draft. I think I have to pause it right away. There we go. What do you want to do? Do you want to trade up right now, Thor? Do you want to do something crazy like move up to number 3 and see what happens?
I think we let the first pick go off the board. We're not going to be able to get up there, but we do the same thing Kwesi does, and we start engaging at 2. Or we'll start engaging at 3.
At 3 now. Yeah, okay. So this moves a little faster than PFF. So Caleb Williams and Drake May go 1 and 2.
And this is the more realistic trade possibility. That Washington one's kind of pie in the sky. But yeah, let's engage him on the trade.
Okay. New England. It's the first time we've done this interface. Let's see how it works. We'll confirm with the Patriots. So we're going to give the Patriots what? The 11, the 23. We want the 3, obviously.
It doesn't give us the third in 25. Thor,
how does it? Oh, so then we'll just propose it after.
It doesn't give us like a likelihood like PFF does.
I'd be fine with that.
Okay. So the 11, the 23, and the next year's the comp picks aren't on here yet, obviously. But
right,
well, let's see if they accept it. Confirm proposal. Ooh.
All right, now we're in business.
The Minnesota Vikings
in
are
business.
On the clock. So now, so this is the other scenario, I guess. I asked you earlier, would you take Drake May or J.J. McCarthy? Would you take Jaden Daniels or J.J. McCarthy right here, Thor?
So I have Jaden Daniels higher on my board, and I do think he has a higher ceiling. And I think Jaden Daniels has a reasonable floor. The one interesting thing about aspect of the fit with Jaden Daniels to the Vikings is he didn't throw over the middle nearly as much as McCarthy and May did. And obviously that is a big part of KOC's offense. It's not as clean of a fit, but I think in terms of just the prospect qualitatively, you put them a little bit above. You know, the superpowers being the downfield throwing with Jaden Daniels and then the ability to take off and do real damage when he breaches the line of scrimmage and now he's running downfield. Great scrambler as well. And showed the last couple of years, very quiet feet in the pocket, will go through his progressions. And to the thing of the over-the-middle passing, he can definitely do it. You see that on tape. It's just with LSU, their team last year, they had the Brian Thomas guy, the 6'3", 210 freak that runs, you know, 4'3", flat, whatever. They would send him on all these posts and goes and different stuff like this downfield. And then you had neighbors just zipping around and doing neighbors things. So that, I mean, that's where sort of the usage went there. And they didn't attack the middle of the field quite as much. It was trying to force the college defenses, the spacing thing. Every single play, we can take you over the top. So, but if you put the two deep safeties back, now we have all this space to work with in the intermediate range. Not quite as clean of a fit, like I said, because of that, you'd have to do a little bit more projecting with Daniels is over the middle passing, but the rest of it is aces with Daniels. I think I would go with Daniels here. I don't know how the Vikings see him vis-a-vis that, because there obviously hasn't been as much discussion about the possibility of him getting down there. But I think that would work, and it would give an athletic dynamic to this offense that they haven't had in a while. Jaden Daniels, a guy that I comp to a guy near and dear to Vikings fans' hearts, Randall Cunningham.
Dude, how about this, though? Okay, so we have a trade offer from the Chargers. The Chargers are saying, I'm guessing, wait a second, what if we hopped the Cardinals to grab Marvin Harrison Jr.? So the Chargers are offering the fifth pick, so we'd move back two spots. And a 2025 second round pick.
I like this simulator, by the way.
So now we recoup the second rounder that we traded out.
Yep.
The Giants are also trying to move up. The Giants are offering the six.
The Giants want Jaden Daniels.
A second round pick and the 166.
Tell the Giants to kick rocks. We ain't letting them steal a QB from us.
What do you think of this one?
This one, that one would be more interesting.
Unless you're good either way, right? But
we know that LA is not taking a quarterback.
So you're good either way.
It's not going to take a quarterback. Yeah, I mean, we could.
You have to do this, right?
Yeah, we could do that.
Because so the Chargers move up to three, not to take a quarterback, meaning that you're going to get one of the two quarterbacks.
Exactly.
Let's accept this. This is a no-brainer.
I'll be fine with that.
Wait, boys, we just
released.
Okay, so and they took Joe Alt.
Both of them are still out there.
The Cardinal. Hold on a second. Let's. I'm just going to close these here.
Yeah, they took.
Okay, so Marvin Harrison went three. Joe Alt went to the Cardinals at four.
Okay,
so both quarterbacks are still setting.
So now you can take Jaden Daniels.
Oh my gosh!
Unbelievable. Yeah, I think I take Jaden Daniels here.
Pop him
real quick. Here's the we have three trade offers. We can move back to 18. No. That we're going to reject that one, right?
Yeah, thank you.
The Broncos want to move up.
Sorry, Sean Payton.
Screw you, Sean Payton. Stop calling Sean Payton. Lying
way back. And then Washington wants us to move out of the first round entirely. We're going to reject that, too.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
Okay, so Jaden Daniels?
We'll take Jaden.
Jaden Daniels to the Minnesota Vikings.
That's pretty good.
The fifth overall pick, boys.
And you've got a second back now.
And then their McCarthy goes at six. So, yeah, I mean, that's what it is, right?
Yep.
If the fourth quarterback gets down to six.
This is realistic.
Yeah.
We finally found a mock draft that's realistic.
There's
and
no
we got
way
a second round pick back next year.
And there's no way to like speed this up, so it'll take like 2 minutes to get to the 108. So basically
I have some filibustering here. I had a little bit more context of the May against McCarthy stuff that I was talking about before with some numbers for you guys. So the over the middle passing, you know, again, a thing that is fetishized by KOC. Last 2 years, Drake May, 93.3 PFF grade on 110 attempts over the middle, best in class. And then J.J. McCarthy, 92.0 PFF grade over the middle the last couple of years. So those are, you know, in terms of that. But one other thing, you know, just in terms of the pressure. So just a couple stats for you guys of those two guys against each other. Under pressure last year, J.J. McCarthy, 63.5% completions. Drake May, 43.3% completions under pressure. JJ McCarthy, 9.5 yards per attempt under pressure. That's McCarthy.
Wow.
Drake May under pressure, 6.7 yards per
attempt. That's a huge difference. Now, could you argue that JJ McCarthy, the sample size is, I mean, you got the numbers in front of you. Like, is it a smaller sample size because he wasn't asked to throw 40 times a game, or is that not a valid pushback?
I don't think so. Not on the per pass. No. You know, when you're under pressure making those decisions, and you see this on film as well, McCarthy has the thing of, it's okay if I get sort of penned in because I have the athleticism to get out of it. And we've talked about when he's on the move, the upper body's always cocked to throw, eyes downfield with the legs under him. So he has that different stuff going for him. Whereas with Drake May, this is also something I saw on his film. I think we talked about this the first time that we discussed him. It's this weird quirk where I like his footwork in the pocket. I like his understanding of his spatial awareness in the pocket as well. Like, he does this stuff to manipulate it so he keeps the runway of space in front of him that he can step into the throws. All that stuff is good. The thing that concerns me is when the pocket begins to collapse, but it's not all the way on his doorstep yet. But when he starts to denote, okay, this thing's collapsing, his processing, it gets hit on fast forward, and his mechanics get hit on fast forward, and he leaves his feet behind. So that's when you see him start speeding the ball out with the upper body. Sometimes he's not taking care to square his feet, square his shoulders to the target, different stuff like that. And he's not stepping into those throws. That's where I see the errancy and the inaccuracy with Drake May under pressure. He also does not have that trump card of the athleticism to get out of it. He doesn't have the acceleration out of there. He doesn't have the lateral agility to get out of there. So sometimes he's dead to rights in those situations. He had a very elevated sack rate once he was under pressure. I think it was 28 times last year when he was under pressure, he got sacked. But, you know, so you just have to know the prospects that you're dealing with in terms of that.
Love it, dude. Oh, my God. I want tremendous. We have two white noise machines in our home just, you know, for like sleeping and stuff. Like, if I could replace it with just Thor talking about prospects, dude. So, okay, we have 7 minutes left in this podcast for scheduling reasons here. We're back on the clock at 108. So here's the rest of the picks we have for this simulation. We have the 108, the 129, the 157, and the 167, Thor.
Yep.
And you can see the players here. We can search by offense and defense. Let me know what you want to look at here on the right side for the audience on YouTube. You can see it too.
Yeah. So we need the interior defensive lineman still, right? We need a cornerback. Those are two of the top things.
Mason
and then obviously
Smith.
Interior offensive line would be another one.
Oh, look at that nine RAS score for your guy Mason Smith right there. 6'5", 306.
He's big. Big rangy kid who's athletic. He missed time in college for various reasons. That's the only thing with his profile where it's like you have the building blocks there for a disruptive good player. The consistency and then the on-field experience stuff with Mason Smith is a little bit less, which is why he could get here. But it's a guy who could be had on a discount potentially here, you know, early on day three.
Fourth round.
There's also on offense too, and I'll go back here. Blake Corum is the highest rated player on the board according to Pro Football Network, the running back from Michigan. And Aaron Jones is like 30 and signed a 1 year deal, so I don't think that negates your need long term for a running back. I'll just put that out there.
Yeah, Corum's a little bit overblown for me. I would have him a little bit further down. But the other thing with the Vikings, where they're at right now, I do want to take a running back if I'm the Vikings, but it'd be more like fifth, sixth round than
you're gonna take defense here
because the Jones. Yeah, I think of the names I've seen. Phil, just scroll down one more a little bit more. Mason Smith would probably be my lean right now from who I've seen. Oh, my boy Cam Hart is there though.
Yeah.
You guys know how hard it is for me to turn down Cam
So he's the 126th ranked player at 129 is our next one.
All right.
If you could get both those guys.
Yeah, let's take Mason Smith. Too. We'll take Mason and then we'll roll the dice. All
okay, right. Mason Smith. I'm going to pause it once we get to like 118. Because we could go back up for your guy here. All right, let's pause it right here. So Kyrie Jackson just went. There might be a cornerback run. So we pick in 11 picks. Do you want to move back up and get your boy Cam Hart?
Let's go. Let's just go a couple more picks because they still got one corner above them.
Caleb King just went.
Wait, no. We got to stop now, I think. Yeah, now we can do it.
Now stop.
We had to wait for Cam to go off the board.
All right.
Oh, now we got to deal with Sean Payton. Uh-oh.
Let's propose a trade to the Denver Broncos here, boys. So we're going to go, what are we giving up? The 129? We want the 121. What's a fair?
I'll tell you a moment. So it's 121?
Yeah, moving up from 121, 129 to 121.
129 to 121, right?
Yep.
So like a seventh rounder?
So what are the other picks there?
157 that the Vikings have, 157, 167, 177, 230.
So 129 and 157 for 121, that's a slight overpay for the Vikes.
Let's try 167 and see what happens. Let's try the other one.
Yeah.
They've accepted it because... Done.
Yeah, we'll take that.
They're desperate. Yes. Right. Okay. That puts us on the clock here to grab your guy, Cam Hart. Let me resume it so it'll put us on the clock. Cam Hart, cornerback, Notre Dame Fighting Irish, boys.
Yeah.
We got ourselves two defensive players. All right, and then we're going to have two more picks here for this simulation. Actually, one more pick. The 157, right, will be our last pick. Yep.
Because we just traded two picks.
Yep. So we'll be on the clock a little bit. It's, in terms of positions of need, I mean, linebacker, definitely long-term, although...
Running back.
Bringing in Blake Cashman. Blake Cashman is pretty young, right? 25, 27 maybe?
Yep.
But running back...
Special teams help, though.
A punter?
Torrey Taylor.
Oh, if the Iowa guy's there, I'm all over him.
There he is, dude. Actually, he's not even the highest-ranked punter. Ryan Rakow from BYU,
That's
Thor.
Crap.
That's unbelievable.
Torrey Taylor's one of the great
punters. These guys
got to
watch punting film.
Ray Guy. Totally.
We're back on the clock.
Reggie Roby.
Let's see. Let's go to – so we want to take a look at interior offensive line, of course.
Bo Limmer do anything for you?
My issue
9.8 Raz? So, crap.
I mean, like, he would be a fit for the system because obviously they want the athletic guys in the interior or whatever. But with the signing of Feeney, I think they'd be looking more for the guard type guy right now as it sits. We'll have to see what happens with Risner.
What about receivers?
Let's see who we got.
Taj Washington.
Yeah.
Yeah, is your guy there?
Jalen Coker.
Coker,
Let's see if your guy, it's possible that McCaffrey is already
McCaffrey
off this board here.
Yep, he is.
Yeah, he gone. He's moving up, man. Those bloodlines. Yeah,
we don't want any of those guys. Let's take a look at the interior offensive. Let's take a look at the guards.
Javian Cohen from Miami.
Either of those top two guys at the top I'd be cool with.
Okay.
Henderson played a lot of tackle in college. It's funny, Henderson... He started Arizona State with Jaden Daniels, and then they went about their ways. You know, Jaden went to LSU, and then Henderson went off to Michigan. Herm Edwards was a very underrated recruiter. If they had just kept that team together, it would have been ridiculous. They had Ricky Pearsall on that. Rashad White started, you know, but then he was gone. But they, a lot of guys. Johnny Wilson from this class started at Arizona State on that team as well.
We went with the Miami kid there just because he was ranked a little bit higher.
For sure.
And that'll be our last pick of this five-round simulation. I don't know if they do grades on the Pro Football Network mock. We do like the new interface. Yes, we'll give that a... So, okay, full results. Oh, this is the full. Okay. I don't think we get graded here, boys.
We added the LSU Vikings aura as well with the two LSU kids. Yep. Added to the bunch. We know they look good in purple.
Yep.
It keeps Justin Jefferson happy.
I was going to say, he's happy right now. He is sitting down to sign that long-term contract after seeing this draft.
Yes. Yeah, so, hey, there excited. It is, boys. There's no grade, but we know in our hearts that this was an A+.
A+. We got that second-round pick back next year. We didn't have to give up our first-rounder next year.
So next year we have a first, a second, and two-thirds next year after this.
We just solved quarterback. We have most cap room in the NFL next year.
Inject it.
Lombardi's cooking with gas.
Lombardi's all over TCO Performance Center.
Go check out Thor's 2.0 on Fantasy Pros. Also check out the Fantasy Pros podcast that you guys just launched, what, like 3 weeks ago? And that thing's up and running. Apple,
Spotify. NFL Draft Show on a Dynasty feed on the Dynasty podcast on Fantasy Pros.
Love it, dude. Hey, we'll do it again for actual Thor's Day later this week.
Hey, appreciate it, boys. Can't wait.
Hey, we just want the Vikings to win a Super Bowl before we die. And I think today's mock draft simulation was a good step in that direction.